The Samaritan woman is the great story of this Lenten season. There's lots of stories in Lent, but I'm telling you, sisters and brothers, there's nothing better than the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman is like all of the folks from that time to this. The Samaritans were people who came from the exile with their brothers and sisters, the Jewish people. But they did something that the Jews did not do. They intermarried. They intermingled. And in their intermingling, they became separated, distanced. They became unclean to those who left that exile and maintained that integrity of their tradition. Yahweh, their God, the singular belief that they were this chosen people, and they were to pray together, they were to marry together, they were to remain together as this bond, for fear that somehow, if they strayed, they would be contaminated by the other folks of this world, and then as a result of that, they would be lost. And so they were the enemy, the Jew and the Samaritan. But there's the first little teaching in the Samaritan gospel tonight. Jesus is unafraid to go to the enemy. He isn't there just to preach to the great ones. He is willing to take the risk, certainly to take the criticism, certainly possibly even to risk some safety by going into Samaria. Normally you'd go along the coast or you'd go along the Jordan River, but he went right down in the middle because it's right in the middle of Israel, between Galilee and Jerusalem. It's there, right there. And if you go there today, I went once to see the, I was dying to see that well, and so I was curious, and so I was, but I was on a Jewish bus, so they were throwing rocks at us, you know, as we were going in there. We got in and it was fine, but, you know, it wasn't exactly a great, you're all welcome kind of thing. But that's how it is, and that's how it was. So that's the context of this gospel. Christ going to those who were not supposed to be heard or to hear that good word, but he went. So he had some sensitivity right at that moment in his great ministry to go to those people who would find life difficult for him. Now that he's there, we find out that this was Shechem, the city. It's a hot, hot city. It's right smack dab in the desert. So let me tell you, anyone going out at midday would be very thirsty and would certainly go because there was something different going on. Because most people would go in the morning or go in the evening. And they would intermingle and intertalk and have those things. But somehow this woman evidently felt uncomfortable going when the crowd went. So this Samaritan woman goes right smack dab in the middle of the day. Noon, high noon. And she meets a person who asks for water. And this Samaritan woman is first stunned by it because he's a Jew and they didn't talk. And a woman in the midst of the day, what was all this about? What did he want? What was he looking for? And so Jesus says to her, if you knew who I was, who I am, you would be asking water of me. So that piqued her curiosity. And then he says to her, sister, well, I want some water because I'm thirsty. I promise I will give you water that will spring inside you and you will never thirst again. So she now is excited. But then he says something to her. He says, go now and get your husband. Remember that? Remember the scene? Get your husband. Stay with me now. I stay awake. Get your husband. She says she doesn't have a husband. He says, you're darn right, sister. You don't have a husband. You've had five. Oh, maybe that's why she's going out at noon. Because somehow she's probably not very well accepted at Chekar. her community. They probably judge her. They probably have separated from her. They probably say, don't talk to her. So what happens? This woman is exposed to Christ. She's exposed to Christ first, she says, as a prophet. You're telling me things that nobody knew. You certainly didn't know. You're a stranger to this town. You must be someone who can read hearts. You must be a prophet. And then when he talks about the living water, she says, you know, this Messiah is coming. I wonder why you have such a gift. But the secret of that little encounter, I think, is something that you and I believe with all our hearts, can understand. You and I, just like that Samaritan woman, first know Christ as a prophet, then know him possibly as the Messiah. Then as we move along in life, sometimes we know him as Lord. Then somewhere along in life, we come to the moment when Christ becomes everything for us. He becomes our companion. He becomes our friend. He becomes the person who guides us and directs us and is that living water that is in us, tells us everything we know about ourselves. It seems to me that that happens, my brothers and sisters, just as it happened to that woman of Samaria. When our weakness, whether it's we're addicted to alcohol or drugs or something, or food, whether it's some crazy kind of living where we're out of control in so many parts or in some specific part of our life, whether we're having a horrendous relationship with someone that somehow is, we know it's wrong, and yet we hide it so that people don't know. We think people don't know. Or whatever that particular fragile point in our lives is revealed. That's the time it strikes me. In that moment, that's the time when you and I are given the opportunity to come to know Christ in a way that we've never known him before. Because somehow, when that fragile moment touches our lives, that's the time that we see that we are not condemned, that we're not set aside, that we're not in any way disdained by the Master. He embraces all of it. He embraces our sin, our addiction, our struggle, whatever that is. He embraces it and loves us for it. And that strikes me, my brothers and sisters, as so important for all of us to share with each other. Because if truth be told, we're all the same. All of us. And none of us want that exposure. But when it is exposed, when there's a vulnerability and a sensitivity and a fragileness that we see, God sees, and all we experience is love, we do. We do what that Samaritan woman does. She takes that gift, that great promise, that great love, and she goes back to the city of Shechar. And she invites her brothers and sisters to also come and see.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was lost, but now so far away, but I'm home now. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And now my life's song sings.
once was blind, but now I see. I once was blind, but now I see. I don't know how, but when he touched me, I once was blind, but now I see. And now my life song sings.
And now my life song sings.
My sisters and brothers, that woman went and her life long sang. She said to those people, come back, meet the master. The interesting and I think the best part of this gospel is the last part. They say, we come to see you because of the testimony of this woman. So we're here because she told us about you. That you knew things about her that nobody else knew. That you promised water that would come and would never, never allow us to be thirsty again. So we want to know who you are. On the testimony of this woman of Samaria. But then they invite him to stay. And when he stays with them, they end this gospel by saying tonight, it is no longer because of the testimony of her that we believe. It's because we have seen with our heart, seen with our own eyes, have come to believe that you are the Savior of the world. My brothers and sisters, this is the truth. We need to be the people to encourage. We need the people to invite. We need to be the people that say, look, there it is. But ultimately, we can't stand there. Christ must increase and we must decrease. If we stand there and say, look at me, don't you dare believe that anybody else taught you this. Remember, it came from me now. Yes, you know Christ, but remember, and we live in that egotistical life, do we not? Yes, I do. All about me. And the answer, my sister and brother, my answer is found in that gospel tonight. Of course we introduce, of course we encourage, but Christ is the increase, and when we decrease, when he becomes the increase and we walk away, we're diminished. There is incredible joy. Trust me, there is incredible joy in their lives, in their relationship with Christ, and in ours. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's wonderful.